B-Pod Studios.
$1 million deal.
Okay.
I'm in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Tobias Harris?
We were kind of talking like 4 year, that 145 contract.
So no supermaxes.
Yeah. And is that enough to keep him? That's awesome.
That's going to be the problem. Yeah. That's going to be the
problem.
Because
that to them is bye-bye.
But if I'm Elton Brand and I look over in Los Angeles and I look at the Clippers, uh-huh. I see Landry Shamet.
Or the Nets. They're going to have a lot of money.
The Nets are going to have. No. But what I'm saying is like justification for my first big trade.
Mm-hmm. You got to keep one of them.
Yeah.
Which might mean overpaying.
Yeah, absolutely. And welcome to sports.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if they lose both of those guys? Could you imagine if Joel Embiid next year has a problem? This knee is a chronic problem. It's bad. The process produced you Ben Simmons?
Correct. See, that, Bob, and I know people hate me for saying this, but that's why I'm not willing to go, oh, process, it worked. Oh, look at this. Have they made it to a win away from the conference finals like they did in before the process started? What have they succeed? Have they exceeded where they left off? No, they haven't left off. No. Have they been consistent conference finals contenders or something like that? Did I miss something?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Right.
When they get there, and are very confident they will get there, that's when I'll go back and spike the football. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPEN in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast.
It's springtime in Philly, and we've got the green.
Win $1,000 or maybe $10,000. This is 97.5, the Fanatic's 5K a day big green giveaway.
This hour's keyword is recent. Recent. Enter the keyword recent on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting recent to 45911 by 8:15 this morning, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 975thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword recent on the Fanatic app or at 975thefanatic.com, or by texting recent to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Powered by Farron Electric. Electric issues in your home? Trust Farron Electric to keep your family safe. Visit farronelectric.com. Good luck. 610-632-0975. Bit of a backtrack Tuesday once again. We heard Jared Dudley's comments of trying to backtrack. Will Jake Arrieta try to backtrack today after his comments yesterday regarding his teammates not liking the way they came out after the two-hour rain delay against the Mets? And Donovan McNabb had already backtracked. I'll give you those comments right here. Now, in case you missed it, Donovan McNabb, the other day on Zach Gelb, our old friend Zach Gelb, said that Carson Wentz, the Eagles, might need to look elsewhere in the next 2 years or so if they can't get out of the second round of the playoffs with Carson, and plus you don't know about his health, this, that, and the other. So Carson then put out Donovan put out three tweets to backtrack a little bit. Not even backtrack, but further explain what he was saying about Carson. And it says, for those who misread, didn't understand, or were confused, or just didn't like my comments, let me clarify it for you. Let me start by saying there is no beef, riff, or ill will towards Carson Wentz or the Eagles. My comments were strictly based off of experience and understanding of how the business of football works. You are consistently evaluated every day, every game, and if you're reliable or healthy enough to play. I know at times as players and fans, it can be confusing to move on from a beloved player, but due to the business of health and trust, tough decisions are usually made. Maybe people just didn't like it because it was coming from me, or I understand a question, I answered a question from one of the talents on the radio the way you didn't agree with. If that's how you feel, I'm sorry you feel that way. It's the nature of the game. I didn't need clarifying from the comments. I feel like most people didn't need clarification of the comments.
Right.
I feel like most people
we knew
felt the way about what was said because it was from Donovan. And he's right. I give Donovan full credit for this because he does understand. Now, I don't know if someone had to explain it to him or what, but reading this, I think he gets it now. not overall gets it, but just understands the comment and that it comes from him, it's not going to come off well.
When you say he gets it now, you mean now after he said the initial comment or now in general?
Now, just the initial comment.
Okay. All right.
Someone told him. Exactly. I give him credit. And I'm not a hater. I respect Donovan. I just always know that the comments like this, that when they come from him, it makes it seem as if he's not rooting for Carson. And I think now he understands that because somebody might have told him, someone might have explained him, or he just didn't care. Here's my opinion. You deal with it.
I don't think he cares. Because like he had the follow-up tweet before the other comments saying winning. Winning what?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think he cares. I think he's borderline trolling the fan base, and maybe in a way he gets enjoyment out of that.
That's not cool. We're his fan base.
Yeah, but he never connected with us.
That's 100% true.
So if he knows that, maybe now he's just turning heel in life and going, I'm going to troll him.
That's a good point.
I mean, he never connected that with us, and I don't think he feels like it's ever going to happen. So maybe he's just going Hulk Hogan when he joined the heel nation.
If I can't beat him, heel him?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, he was trolling yesterday with the winning comment and like other, like he was trolling.
No question about it.
If you can't beat him, troll him, I guess would be.
Yeah, kind of.
I would have so much more respect for Donovan McNabb if that was the case.
But he would never tell you that, admittedly.
That's true. But it's, and then we can just interpret it and make up our own reality.
I mean, yeah.
So and he's how much more fun will that
and
be?
And by the way, I hope he's going to be on with us next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can ask him. Are you trolling?
What are you doing?
Are you trolling us?
I plan on, if he does come on with us next week, and
we'll have Trey in his trust tree, so he should be fine.
Will he? No, in all seriousness, he was offered to us to talk draft stuff
after,
and quote-unquote other things, and that was before the comments came out.
Yeah.
Like I just plan on having a very real conversation with him.
Yeah.
I'll ask him one question about the draft, and it'll probably be, hey, how about that draft, huh?
Yeah.
And then, okay,
they didn't
fine.
Boo that guy.
And
how
then,
about that?
Boom.
Do you think Roger Goodell's career is ruined because he got booed? No, anyway. Yeah,
so you're saying he's gone 360, where he used to care so much about what people thought, where he was so sensitive, so thin-skinned, that now he just doesn't care.
It's possible.
Yeah. No, I'm not doubting you.
I don't know that. Maybe.
It looks like it, doesn't it? If he's trolling, he doesn't care anymore.
What I saw yesterday was an internet troll.
Yeah.
That knew what he was doing.
What you saw on Twitter, what I just read?
Well, before that.
Before that.
Yeah,
okay.
Two or three comments.
Oh, the winning part?
Yeah, like I don't care. Oh, yeah, Lane Johnson's talking about it. Yeah, I don't care.
That's the evidence to support that theory.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
I don't think he'll ever get to a point, though, where he doesn't care.
No, he won't.
That's not
But
him.
He'll put on the front of not caring.
Because, again,
because he cares.
Yeah.
And what if somebody said that about him?
Oh.
It makes it seem, like, again, the point I made yesterday was, what if Randall came out and said something about him, the way he was playing, and said, well, you know, the Eagles got to move on in 2 years if Donovan can't get out of the second round of the playoffs. And it's to your friend's point yesterday, Bob.
Yeah, I love that. Why did he pick second round of the playoffs?
That's the level of success.
That's the text that I got. Really? That's his level of success, second round.
So Donovan backtracked a little bit, you would say. Jared Dudley backtracked. Now, will Jake Arrieta backtrack? Now, here's what Jake Arrieta had to say yesterday. Now, first, he talked about a couple of different things. One, Bryce Harper. The other, his team's effort, and then his own effort. So, Bryce Harper gets thrown out in, what, the fourth inning yesterday? He got two at-bats under his belt. Cesar Hernandez is at the plate for the Phillies. There's a strike called on Cesar Hernandez.
And it was bad.
That was just atrocious. High and out of the zone, high and away, but called a strike by the home plate umpire. So, next thing you know, the home plate umpire, Mark Calderon, what's his name?
Carlson,
thank you. He snaps back from my home plate, takes the mask off, points it at the dugout of the Phillies, and you're out of here. So somebody gets tossed. We don't know who it is. Then we see Bryce Harper and Gabe Kapler come out of the dugout. Gabe Kapler is irate.
Kicking ass and taking names.
That's what he was doing yesterday. He was furious. Bryce Harper's trying to get in the face of Carlson, and Gabe Kapler's pushing him back. Do you stay away?
We love it. I think it's incredible.
I loved every minute of it. But bottom line is Bryce Harper can't get thrown out of that game. Now,
what do you guys have? What would you like to talk about?
According to Gabe Kapler post-game, there was nothing different said by Bryce Harper that would differentiate between any other day in Major League Baseball. It was just normal chit-chat. if you will. So Jake Arrieta, though, took exception to it and said after the game that Bryce Harper, guess what? He needs to stay in that game. Here is Jake Arrieta on Harper's ejection.
I mean, he's got to understand. Look, we need him in right field. I don't care how bad the umpire is. He wasn't great for either side. I'm out there trying to make pitches. He misses some calls. So what? Like, we need him out there. I don't care how bad he is. I need him in right field. I need him at the plate. And he wasn't there.
Harper had two at-bats in the game. He struck out twice. To Harper's credit, he did acknowledge, yeah, I can't get thrown out of the game there. But again, according to Gabe Kapler, he shouldn't have been thrown out because it was nothing that was out of the ordinary. No bad language, if you will, whatever. So then Jake Arrieta said that after the two-hour rain delay, his team still needed a spark and couldn't find it. Listen to this.
We were flat. The dugout was flat. Defense wasn't good. Didn't throw the ball well as a staff overall. We got beat.
That's what I saw. I mean, three hits in the game total. Two players get hits. Hoskins gets a home run.
And three errors.
Three errors made by the team. Good point. You had Cesar Hernandez, you had Aaron Altair, and you had Jake Realmuto. JT Realmuto, excuse me, had the throwing error from behind the plate. So there were issues all around. He didn't like the way the team came out. Now, fine. You want to call those guys out for that? You want to include yourself in it? Great. Here's the part, Bob, that I believe you and I had the issue with, and it comes to really the entire team, and it's when Jake Arrieta kind of differentiates himself between himself and the team.
We started at 8:45, right? I don't think our guys were ready to play. I'm out there doing everything I can to win a game. I need my guys behind me. I'm not happy with the way we showed up today. I need to come out tomorrow ready to go.
When he goes to the eye.
Yeah.
I'm out there trying to make every pitch, do everything I can to win, and then talks about everybody else not being behind him. That's where you have a little bit of, oh, hold on, pump the brakes there, Jake. Everything up until that point, I'm like, oh, keep going. Let's go. Let's party. But everything up until that point, I'm on board with. That last part was like, nah, right. Now you're Mr. Perfect, and you're trying to show up other people.
Yeah, if it was, I could have been better, but so could have the guys behind, blah, 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 blah. Put yourself in the same group. Make yourself part of the team. But you didn't. You isolated yourself. I'm out there throwing pitches. I'm out there strong. I'm out there competing. I don't know what these guys are doing.
Right.
Yeah, that's just, you know, I didn't like that a little bit.
All right.
I didn't like that a little bit. Right. I didn't like it a little bit.
All right, well, we'll you know, we won't backtrack, but we'll go back in time.
We don't backtrack.
Not
we don't moonwalk.
We stand firm.
That's right.
No matter what. So, Jake Arrieta, guess what? Not the first time he's done this. He said comments last year, if people remember, back in June. We'll go over why exactly those comments came about. We'll talk about that in a few. Lewis, you stay right there in Pensauk. I believe you and I are on the same page as well. We got Sean. We got Dave. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll walk you through Jake Arrieta's comments from a year ago and show you how they may be just a little bit similar there. And then Brandon Graham doing what he can to also defend his quarterback. That's what's coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And you know what? Everyone wants a nice green lawn, but you don't want to sacrifice the safety of your loved ones, and you don't want to sacrifice the safety of your kids, your neighbor's kids, your kids, pets, your neighbor's pets, anybody, or anything that can be running around on that lawn. You want to make sure they're as safe as possible. So this season, call Natural Lawn of America, because they use safer, organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. They actually do keep your grass greener and keep those ugly weeds away. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. So whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. For a limited time only, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full-service program. That's right, $100 off. If you want a greener lawn with fewer weeds, call Natural Lawn today and tell them Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE and get $100 off right now. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's guaranteed. I see Bryce Harper's burner account on Twitter kind of agrees with me. As far as Jake Arrieta seeing something he didn't like in the clubhouse that really provoked him into saying what he said after the game.
Ah, I think you're onto something.
I brought up the Fortnite instance, and so is our friend Bryce Harper's burner account on Twitter. And I'm not saying they're playing Fortnite again in the clubhouse. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the way he phrased what he said after the game led me to believe it was more than something that was just happening on the field. Not being ready to play in a game. Guys are having that laser focus.
You put the two and two together.
All right, I got to get my boy Louie.
It was a very valiant effort.
Louis, Pensauken, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
First of all, this is going to be a very interesting test for the Sixers with the Raptors. You know what? I wasn't really realizing this until I was listening to the broadcast. Do you know that everybody but Siakam on that starting five has been on all defensive teams? And Marc Gasol and Kawhi both have been defensive players of the year. And they bring another guy, Serge Ibaka, who's also been in an all defensive team. That's really going to be...
Yeah, that's when we talk about a bad matchup right there, Louis. That's what we're talking about.
But you know, it's not a bad matchup. You know why I say that? Because we have to understand the very fundamentals and foundations of basketball. You don't get better until you play better competition. That is the ground rule. Everybody who's ever gotten better always had to play up to competition, and sometimes you have to get your head in it to you. Sometimes you have, that's the only way you make your adjustments.
Sure, how is it not a bad matchup?
Because of the fact that you need to go through this process. People talk about the process is over. No, it isn't. The process of the tanking part of the process is over, but the hardest part, the hardest level to get to in the NBA is to take that step between being a good team to being a contending team. That is the hardest step to make in the NBA, because some teams like Portland and other teams like that, they stay in a certain level and they never get to that other, they never take that next step. It's very difficult to go from we are a very good team, but in order to become a true contender, sometimes you have to get your head handed to you. The Michael Jordan Bulls had to go through the Detroit Pistons and get their behind whoop.
Right. I understand how there's a benefit to the series, but it's still a bad matchup for the team. Like right now, today, look, it's good to get the experience. Everybody understands that. But as of right now, like, do you have a beat in the Raptors?
I have them losing in six.
Okay.
But I think that they can. Here's the thing, real quick. I'm telling you, with this team, I tell you right now, they play up to their competition. The one thing about this team, if you notice them all year, they play down to competition and they play up to their competition. When those last weeks, when they beat Boston and they beat Milwaukee, they beat Denver, they beat OKC. Remember the week everybody put them down, they're going to, you know, fall back, and they made that run, and they started beating these teams. This team plays up to the competition. I'm looking for, they might lose game one, but I think they're going to really make a serious year, because you know what, the difference between this year and last year, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris having veteran guys.
Sure, but Louis, thanks for the call, man. It still doesn't change the fact that you're still facing the Raptors. Like, I think this goes without saying, they could use this experience in playing the Raptors, a team that's better than them, but it's still a bad matchup for right now. Like, I hope they draw out the experience, and I hope this team stays together for next year and all that. But as of right now, yeah, it's not exactly who I want to see in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, if most people haven't watched Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard much this year, they're really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good. And then they have Kyle Lowry, a bulldog point guard, with, you know, a lot of experience under his belt. They got Marc Gasol. They got Danny Green is just a guy that, like, You know wins. He's yeah. You know, do you know he's Kawhi Leonard with players minimum of 300 games in the NBA career history? Kawhi Leonard is number one all time in win percentage, and Danny Green is like not far behind him at like number four wow. overall. Danny Green is just like a guy that you know is going to hurt you at some point. Like he's just so good at everything. He's so underrated around the league. It's just a really talented roster, and then they have a deeper bench than we do. It's going to be tough, but my confidence has grown where I think they can give him a real dogfight of a series.
I think he's like J.J. Redick in that maybe he's missed 1 year of the playoffs, but, I mean, J.J.'s been in the playoffs every year yeah. in his career, which is insane. But Danny Green, if it's not every year, it's maybe missing one.
Yeah, he's yeah. just a really good player.
Yeah, I mean, if you go up and down, and we're doing exactly what I wanted to do tomorrow.
Yeah,
Jamie.
Bob, the series is over, Bob.
If I start doing this, you know
coward.
That's not
Bob,
right.
You losing five.
Bob's looking past the Nets.
So who?
Basketball gods, are you listening?
So who do you have covering Siakam?
Probably Ben.
I got Tobias.
That's fine, too.
All right. Kawhi.
I would probably go Tobias, yeah.
It's Kawhi, I put Jimmy Butler on.
Yeah, I'm going.
Veteran
that's
on
exactly.
Veteran.
All right. Lowry?
If you put Ben Simmons on him, you could eliminate him from the series.
That's what I got. Danny Green has to be Redick, and then Gasol is Embiid.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. All right, look at it the other way.
Look at it, okay.
All right, who's covering Ben Simmons?
Hmm.
Well, my point being, let's not forget that the Sixers are a nightmare matchup also.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Are you putting Kawhi on Ben?
Yes, absolutely, yeah, if I'm Toronto.
You have to, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Who are you putting on Jimmy Butler?
Siakam.
Okay. Who are you putting on Tobias Harris?
Danny Green.
Danny Green.
All right. Green on Tobias.
How many minutes has
and
Gasol?
And then Lowry is on Redick. And
yeah.
Lowry on Redick and Gasol on Embiid.
How many minutes has Gasol been playing? Has he,
not
been,
man,
has he been going
no,
30? Like, he hasn't been going 30,
no,
35,
like,
has he?
I recall like 20-something-ish against, in the closeout, he went 25. Not the closeout. In game four against Orlando, he went 25.
25.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's like 20, 25.
Game before that was 26. So I mean, he seems to be in that 25 to 30 range.
Okay. I can't believe we're doing this because I don't like to look past series, guys. I don't know why Bob's making us do
this. I don't even know why they're playing tonight.
Why is Bob making us do this,
The
Jamie?
Nets are dead. Jared Dudley shouldn't even get off the bus.
Not only should he not get
died.
Off the bus. Once he backtracked the comments, that's where you should be like, oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know what? We're done. We're done here, I believe. Let's get to Sean and Voorhees. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good, bud.
Hope you guys all had a nice Easter.
Thank you, man. You too.
That's what I was going to talk about at the Raptors matchup. I would actually kind of flip it another direction, right? Kyle Lowry beats the Raptors himself. I'd put J.J. Redick on him. Literally have Ben, Tobias, and Jimmy guard Siakam, Danny Green, and Kawhi. But all three of them could rotate so you're not on the same guy the whole time. And then in the beginning, I'm feeding the ball to Joel all day, get Marc Gasol in foul trouble. They don't have a backup center. Think about that. Then you have Marc Gasol out. How are they going to stop Joel in there?
Well, I guess Ibaka is your backup center.
He would be, yes, yeah. De facto.
He's pretty solid.
And that's the other thing is when Embiid comes out, I think you got to play Bolden. You can't put Bobby in there. You can't in that series.
Ooh,
I don't
bold
think.
Bolden. Bold strategy.
I mean, yeah, well, here's the thing. Look, I agree with you because you have such a defensive liability when it comes to Bobby. But the other part of that is that Bolden didn't exactly take the bull by the horns or the rose by the thorns, whatever, in this series when he got the limited opportunities that he got. Like, watching Jonah Bolden in game four didn't make me go, oh, this guy needs more minutes. You know what yeah. I'm saying?
No, I don't think he needs more. I think he matches up better when Ibaka comes out. I mean, put Bobby on Ibaka will drive right by him every time.
Yeah.
But the reason I put JJ on Lowry is if anyone's been watching this series, Lowry, when they lost, he literally beat the Raptors himself. I mean, last game he shot 3 for 8. I think my option is if you really stop Siakam and Danny Green, but Danny Green wants to get tied, he's high. If you rotate those three guys, I feel like we win the series. I think Kyle Lowry is just like out there, like, he'll win us the game on his own because he'll just go 0 for 13 from the field.
I hope that's, I mean, I certainly hope that's the case. And Yeah, you're right, Bob. I mean, the Sixers, they have to impose their will on other teams. It's not just them reacting to that team. It's them also having to match up. And I think once the Sixers made that adjustment in Game 2, it was a totally different story here in this series with the Nets. But obviously, the Raptors are the second-best team in the Eastern Conference for that reason, to use a cliche. But it's also very true. I mean, they have matchup nightmares. Kawhi Leonard, defensively and offensively, he's a killer at both ends of the court.
Yeah, you know they're going to put Kawhi on Ben, and that does give me a lot of concern, because that's veteran versus second year in the playoff guy, already with a limited offensive kind of repertoire. Mm-hmm. I mean, that matchup is advantage Kawhi.
The nonchalant ball handling that Ben Simmons gets into sometimes, that is really not going to fly against someone like Kawhi Leonard.
I was just going to say, the instances in transition when Ben is used to catching guys off guard, that does not exist with Kawhi Leonard.
No.
That grace period that Ben can get from maybe two steps behind the half-court line, bringing it up between half-court and the basket, the leeway isn't there.
And he's strong enough to take Ben's body on and still stay with him in a good defensive position.
I just wonder if you would you're kind of wasting Kawhi's defensive talents if you put him on Ben in a way that you're giving up an outside shot. You're only covering him from 8 feet on in, 5 feet on in, or whatever it may be. I want Kawhi Leonard enforcing himself defensively in more ways than that. Know what I mean?
Okay.
So I wonder if they don't put him on Ben Simmons.
Well, you know what, Bob? We'll figure it out tomorrow when the Nets are officially behind the Sixers and you stop pushing us ahead of this series that we're trying to enjoy right now.
Yeah. All right, who's covering Steph Curry?
J.J. Redick, obviously.
Well played, Bob Cooney. Well played.
The playoff series is the best because it becomes such a chess match amongst coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So, once we do get to that series, after the Nets officially get taken out on gurneys tonight, it will be interesting to see how Brett reacts to, because whoever Kawhi is guarding is most likely going to be nullified to a degree. It'll be interesting to see how Brett shifts the offense to those that can kind of carry you game to game.
Will we get a little scuffle between Lowry and Ben Simmons in this series?
I don't think so.
Tempers flare a little bit?
It'd be great if it would.
Get chippy? Yeah, it's not going to happen. As much as I'd like to
say. Bob's right. The guy we're going to end up hating in this series is Ibaka. He'll be the Dudley of this series.
Well, he's another one, because it was years with the Thunder as well.
He's a pest.
Seems like it's always in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he'll give you a shoulder if you need it, and he'll be a pest.
The multifaceted, of course. And he played 20 in the closeout that you had Paul Gasol playing 25.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Before we take Dave in Annapolis, I just want to hit these comments real quick. I'll read them off to you for Jake Arrieta last year, and we'll continue the conversation about the Sixers as well. But if you remember, this is not the first time Jake Arrieta has come out with a critique of his team immediately following a game. If you remember the series out in San Francisco last year against the Giants, where the Phillies only scored one run in three games. They were shut out in back-to-back games and then scored one run in a Jake Arrieta start, the third game of that three-game series in San Francisco. Arrieta came out after the game and said, "I worked too hard for this bleep. Something has to change. We need some accountability all the way around. Everybody from top to bottom. If there is not any accountability, I'll make sure that there is. We had bad defensive shifts. We're the worst in the league when it comes to shifts. It's all about it's about as deflating as it gets when you have those bad shifts. We need to change that." So somebody asked Arrieta how you change that. He said, "I don't know, copy the best. It's not my job." That's always a look at the manager. So he called out his manager a little bit last year. Then Scott Kingery could have had a double play ball. Didn't charge the ball from shortstop in this game. Jake Arrieta said after the game, "Kingery should have gone to second base on that play. We need an out in that situation, at least an out. They got three hits in a row in that inning." Kingery apparently didn't charge a baseball to make the out, and that's what happened. So this isn't the first time Jake Arrieta has called out his team following a loss that he had to take. Now, Arrieta, in this particular game against the Mets, went six innings, allowed four runs, three of them earned. In this game, he allowed, I believe it was five runs, I think it was, to the San Francisco Giants. And then after that, the rest of the month of June, went on to have a 6.66 ERA, but did bounce back in July with a 2.80 ERA. Just when you point at somebody else, there's always three fingers pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Just to call out Arrieta for that part of it. I don't have a problem with him issuing a challenge or calling out what he didn't like when it comes to his teammates. The only issue I had is when he used the word "I." It's like when he singled himself away from the rest of the pack, that's where I go, all right, Jake, you're 33 years old. You're a veteran. You're a Cy Young Award winner. You have some clout in the clubhouse, but take it easy right there, especially this early in the season.
It's clear he's a veteran, but do you, when from the outsider view viewing it, do you consider that he's 13-13 with $75 million contract?
I think so. If you're a player, yeah, absolutely.
If you're everyday player also.
As a fan and an everyday player, are you going, dude, you got paid $30 million last year to win 11 games.
Yeah, earn your keep, bro.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have that
thought. That all comes into play. There's no question in my mind that all comes into play. Like I said, if I'm some of the players, it's an eye roll. Seriously, dude, like you're questioning us. We just got back from on a long cross-country flight, two-hour rain delay. You pitch once every 5 days. You know, I'm out there every single day. Mm-hmm. You're going to question me?
Yeah, I wonder how that is in baseball.
Yeah.
Because there are guys that have that kind of clout where they can say that, and they're pitchers. Of course, I'm not saying pitchers can't be leaders, but what I'm saying, when there's a lot of guys in this clubhouse that are fairly new to the clubhouse, I wonder if you can get away with that.
Yeah, and it was an odd timing. As we said earlier, you have some backups playing right now. You do have some veteran leaders out there that were in the lineup last night. You know, was it just directed towards Cesar Hernandez without calling out Cesar Hernandez? Because I'm sure it wasn't towards Real Muto. I don't think it was towards Hoskins.
Right.
Harper, he did call out, but I don't think it was towards McCutcheon. Any of those guys, it's just odd. I didn't like it just a little bit.
Right, just the ending portion there. Dave in Annapolis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, Jake's an odd guy. I mean, I think he's an odd guy when you listen to him talk after games in general. I think last night he's just looking out and he is busting his tail and he sees Aaron Altair, Roman Quinn, and Phil Gosselin behind him. And, obviously there's injuries, but... Bryce has to stay in that game last night just for that fact alone. They're just thin right now, and you got to understand that as a player.
Dave, real quick, that's the part that I found interesting. That's what took me away from the play on the field and led me to believe that something might have happened in the clubhouse. Not anything ridiculously overdramatic, just something that Jake Arrieta saw during the two-hour delay and said, maybe he thought to himself, well, these guys better be ready to play if that's going to be their attitude or that's what they're going to do. I'm not saying that anybody told me this, sheer speculation, but just reading into what he is saying when he knows those backups are in there makes me think that something happened before they took the field during the two-hour delay.
I agree. I understand baseball is a grind. It's 162, but they were flat as a pancake from, if you looked at McCutcheon's first at bat, he's 10 miles or 10 years behind the fastball from Matt's. And it was just a listless night. And, speaking from a pitcher's point of view, it's got to be frustrating if you are working your tail off every pitch and trying to, get, and then the whole umpire thing and then everything. But, like, Harper's got to stay in that game last night. I think that's the point. The one thing I was pleased to see is Gabe Kapler actually get pissed off. That was a welcome sight to.
And it's kicking ass, I'm taking names.
His post games have been a lot different this year if you listen to him. I think he's feeling the pressure. Of having to win, and from a Matt Klentak spot, you can't. How long is Aaron Altair going to be in the major league? That guy's terrible.
I honestly don't think he's a terrible baseball player. I think he'll be in the major leagues for a while. He's not going to be an everyday starter. But I hear what you're saying about that. It's a guy that's not getting a lot of reps right now, and that's unfortunate for him. But when you got better options, you got to ride with him. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we will hear from Gabe Kapler, and we'll hear from Jared Dudley. We didn't get it.
What's the matter? You all right?
You keep on letting me get away with this. Jimmy Butler. Or Jimmy Rollins. Excuse me.
Well, we're not talking to you because you don't have a clear mind when it comes to this.
Yeah, you get all frazzled.
You guys got words like phenomenal. I'll give you my opinion.
I thought he was very good.
You used the word phenomenal earlier.
I thought that was Jamie who said phenomenal.
I did.
Say phenomenal?
I thought he was great.
What word did you use?
I thought he
fantastic?
Was fantastic. I thought he was Tony Romo-esque.
Which is high praise.
Yes, I that love Tony. High praise. I love me some Tony Romo.
I got a hint of Tony Romo, but the only thing is when Tony Romo predicts a play, it happens.
Oh. Baseball's harder.
We'll break it down, man.
Now, here's the thing. I like Jimmy a lot. And I think Jimmy did a good job. But I'm not using words like phenomenal. So now I'm gonna oh, you hate Jimmy. Why? Because I didn't say phenomenal?
You hate Jimmy.
I love Jimmy.
When you were
J-Rod, I tried to get Jimmy on the show today. And Jimmy, you know, he's in New York. He's busy. He can't come on.
You said he sucked on the air.
That is untrue. He made his debut last night. How would I? I never even issued a preemptive suck.
He did have a slip up.
Yes, he did. We'll get into that coming up in a minute here. And then we got Jimmy Kemsky joining us at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock from PhillyVoice.com to walk us through all things Eagles draft related. First round of the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. See what new pieces to the puzzle the Eagles get. Time of the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is 8:41. All right, before we go any further with this, I love Jimmy Rollins. I love J-Roll. I think he did a very good job last night. But I come in here today, and I'm here in the 5 o'clock hour, Fanatic Live at 5 with the Bob Cooney and the Jamie Lynch. And I'm hearing lavish praise of Jimmy Rollins last night in his first broadcast with the Phillies in the booth with John Kruk and T-Mac. Lavish awesome. Praise. Awesome, you
awesome.
Go. Awesome, you go. Jamie Lynch uses words like phenomenal.
I was enjoying very much being regaled by Jimmy Rollins.
What was so phenomenal about it?
I thought he, like the way he was making fun of Ryan Howard for never stealing bases. Yeah, I thought he had really good insight into how to bunt. I just thought he had a fresh, it was a breath of fresh air.
Okay. I thought he was good.
Okay, phenomenal.
I'll go so far as very good.
When I said phenomenal, I meant in terms of doing his first ever game in the booth.
I don't grade on curves, Jamie Lynch.
Well, I mean, that's not fair for you to not do that. It's his first night.
How is it not fair?
Your first show ever on air, was it good?
It was pretty damn good,
yeah.
Actually. People from the start knew what was going to happen. It was abysmal.
Yeah.
I do remember the top, whatever.
So I think for his first game, yes. I thought it was awesome.
Okay, yes.
For I his loved first it. Game. Him and Kruk back and forth talking hitting.
I
was falling asleep with Jimmy in my ear. It was great.
I did love when he was talking about the stolen bases and Ryan Howard texted him and he was like, yo, dude, it was 9. It was like career high stolen bases was 8. And I think Jimmy even said, I think he said it was like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, it was actually 8. And then Ryan Howard texted him, he was like, keep going. He was like, 9, your stat guy's wrong. I had 9 stolen bases.
That was great. I mean, maybe there is that, you know, it's Jimmy.
Here,
so it's just like a warming feeling.
Here's what unfortunately stuck out to me. It was JT Realmuto at the plate. And Jimmy goes, here he goes, give me a line drive in the gap, score a run. And like he called it, I think he said a line drive over the shortstop's head, it's going to score a run. Like he tried to do a caller. He tried to do a Tony Romo prediction.
Well, that's kind of tough in baseball.
Of course it is.
Football,
which is why you shouldn't do it.
It's his first game.
Calling pitches and different things like that, or talking about defensive alignments, or maybe what a pitcher's trying to do, fine. But you can't, like, call for a double down the line or a double in the gap or anything like that.
That's correct.
Not, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to say.
He had a little bit of a mistake. He forgot where he was. Is that the good way of saying it?
Something was said that shouldn't have been said on the public airwaves of life and whatever. So
I stop myself all the time. He'll get there.
You know what's funny? Maybe in almost 14 years of radio for me, but I've come close twice. And when I'm off the air,
yeah.
We
curse like sailors.
Oh my god!
Just watch our Twitch show.
No, I still keep it reined in.
Oh, I'll let a couple F-bombs
fly. You let it fly.
Yeah, you
let it fly.
There's no FCC on Twitch.
Absolutely not. However, I keep it reined in
every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. By the way, just follow us.
That's correct on Twitch. Check us out.
I have a feeling you're going to get a text from Eileen saying, "Jamie, stop bragging about your potty mouth."
She's very well aware of my trucker's mouth.
What was your dad's line? It's the language of the
weak and ignorant, or something like that, or weak and
go ignorant, but weak.
Yeah,
I know a lot
weak minded.
I know a lot of weak minded.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Which I kind of get.
I get it. But
I just love cursing.
But if I had to go overall, just overall performance, I just love cursing. What the hell's wrong with you? As I curse.
So many things.
As if you had to just take a step back and objectively go A to F with a grade, no A minuses, no pluses, whatever.
No pluses?
No pluses. All right. If you just go A to F with Jimmy Rollins, I would say that Jimmy Rollins was a very solid C. And I contemplate a B.
Ooh. I go B.
I'm giving him an A.
My God.
I can maybe be talked into a B, but a C?
Talked into a B. All right, well, let's start. No, because then I'll
Mark
start.
Mark hates the 08 Philly, 610-632. Yeah, I thought he was great.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
I think he's better than Schmidt already.
The story. All right, well, if I'm. Why are you going to make me hate on beloved Phillies?
No,
well,
hate.
You already hate Rollins.
So
what difference does it make? Throw Schmitty in there,
anyway,
too.
Anyway.
Do you even like Bulls barbecue, man?
No, he hates Kruk.
Jeez.
Don't get me started on that. No, I love Bulls barbecue. But that's a great question to ask, though. The best story of the night, though, was John Kruk talking about his golden dog bean. Was a yellow lab. Like, it's supposed to be a hunting dog.
See, I think Jimmy brought better Kruk out.
That 100% I agree.
Because they were in like a ex-player kind of comfort zone.
Yeah, there was a clubhouse there.
And Kruk was a little more lively.
Yes, and Bob, the part where he's talking about, if you caught the part during the broadcast of the golden lab story, the yellow lab story, John Kruk said that he has a yellow lab, it's a hunting dog. However, his dog is taken after his owner, and he's just a very lazy dog. And the dog has literally sat between two rabbits and peed and just looked at the rabbits like, you guys just want to get out of here, please? I'm trying to do my business, and you guys, I'm supposed to bite you, but I'm not gonna. We both know I'm not gonna. And the way Kruk told it was hysterical. But yeah, I feel like Jimmy brought that out of him.
Yeah, totally. So is that up your grade to a B?
That was a comfort zone. Yeah. No.
Oh.
I'm still a Z.
I gotta get you out of that.
Jamie made a good case.
But I'm an individual performance. I'm not looking at it as what he did for somebody else.
Tide rises all boats, Mark.
I mean, you know, like sports, you can't just look individually. How did it help the team?
It was never all Donovan McNabb's fault.
See, you're turning into Jake Arrieta.
How am I
talking? Yes, you are.
Me.
You just look at the individual.
If it was, Bob, if it was, the reporters be like, hey, your teammates were really great, weren't they? And he'd be like, no, they were good.
Well, I don't know.
That doesn't mean he said they were bad.
I mean, you know.
I really like
Terrell Owens doesn't get 160 some yards in the Super Bowl without Donovan McNabb. Just saying, you know, Jimmy Rollins made John Kruk
better. We'll get you up to a B.
We'll get you there.
You'll talk me up to a B.
We'll get you there.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I watched the game. I listened to Jimmy. I waited the 2 hours. I watched Raptors. I watched Bucks and Pistons. Watched Blake Griffin hit a three,
and like,
still blows my mind.
He did the Kruk post game spot where they interviewed him in the booth from Barkan.
Oh no, that I didn't see.
Oh, so I watched that this morning, and he was insightful, like talking about what was going through Bryce's mind, you know, screaming from the dugout, how it affects the rest of the series, and the calls. Okay, I thought that stuff was all good because Jimmy's a hitting nerd, and he referenced Charlie a bunch, and it was just great.
It did give
you had a B yet.
I'm not at a B. I still enjoyed it. It was the first broadcast. If you want to just go only, great on a curve. Yeah, I'll go to B. If you're giving me a curve, I'll go to B. But you're not. I don't go with curves. I'm just going the bottom line, predictions, whatever. I'm going a solid C. Solid C for Jimmy Rollins in the booth. And it'll only get better because that's J-Roll. It is a little weird that he's still, a senior advisor to the general manager and he's in the booth.
Good point.
That is an odd thing.
Yeah.
But still, nonetheless, he was very good.
Give him as many titles as you can.
He was good.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. No, I'm sorry.
Of the Baseball Hall of Fame, Jimmy Rollins.
I thoroughly believe that. I really do think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Interesting. I've heard the arguments on both sides, and I don't know. I guess I'm a bit of a homer there, and I'd put him in. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think Utley does. I don't think Howard does. But I do think Jimmy Rollins belongs in the Hall of Fame.
There you go. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to Jimmy Kempski, a third Jimmy. Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Rollins, and Jimmy Kempski. They all belong in that same realm right there. We're going to talk to Jimmy Kempski about all things Eagles and NFL draft, get his thoughts on Donovan, try to backtrack a little bit. Also, in the next segment here, we're also going to get into Jared Dudley's comments about Ben Simmons as he tried to backtrack.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.